We do have a lawyer up segment here with Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of the two guys named Chris Young. She's our legal expert, Lisa Lanier is. I thought this was an interesting story. In August 2008, and really, I guess the only question is, are you surprised that this woman wound up getting her settlement? She did. A high school student in Canada was in the car with her mom and her brother. Her mom's boyfriend was driving. It was wet outside. He lost control and crashed into a ditch. The crash was pretty bad. The girl, Alyssa is her name, she was a high school student at the time, hit her head. And apparently, it left her with no impulse control and no ability to focus. She's got a mental injury here, a brain injury. And since the crash, the mom ended things with the boyfriend, and the family sued him for negligence in the crash. And the girl got a $1.5 million settlement because she was so badly injured in the crash. What she has become now is a dominatrix. And she says that she's become a dominatrix because the crash left her with no inhibitions and no self-control. Is this something that would usually happen, that the driver of the car, who was the boyfriend at the time, winds up getting sued, Lisa?
Well, yeah, you know, it's his auto insurance that's liable for it.
Right.
And you actually see, and I see it a lot, these injuries, these head injuries cause major personality changes. That's actually one of the main sequela of a head injury, and it can really turn somebody into, what happens a lot of times is, like, you'll have this really nice person that turns them into a really awful, mean, grouchy person, or the other way around even sometimes. Sometimes a grouchy person turns into a nice person, but it really, personality change is a huge, huge factor in these head injury cases. So apparently she had good evidence. I mean, I would think, you know, with a teenager, inability to focus and impulse control sounds a lot like a lot of typical sort of teenage, you know, ADHD type stuff. So I would have thought the defense could really attack the causation there, but she must have had great medical evidence.
Right, apparently. And you're not surprised that you think this really caused her to become a dominatrix?
You know, I've seen many of my clients have tremendous personality changes. I had a client who just was a beloved father of three little kids that just adored him. They used to come running to him when he came home from work, and he turned into such a mean person with such a quick temper because of a really bad head injury that they would hide from him. They went from running, jumping on him after work to hiding from him when he came home from work.
Man.
It's that huge a shift in personality that, yeah, I mean, and certainly impulse control is one of those things. I mean, the dominatrix thing is a little extreme. Personally, I think I would have probably maybe thought about reworking that part of the case a little bit. But maybe not sharing that part of it. But certainly impulse control is a big factor.
Worked, though. Got over $1 million in the settlement. I'll tell you, it just makes you realize just how complex the brain is. That's what it really goes to show here, is how
gotta go for poignant.
You'll get. Were you saving that line?
It just makes you realize how much there is to the brain.
Okay, Hawkeye.
What a piece of work is man.
Yes. Yeah.
Sounds like a sentence I'd write to someone.
It is so true.
So it's not physical. I mean, it's all... Mental, it's all psychological.
Yes, that's right. With her, anyway.
Is that really? I don't know.
It's strange. Next case also comes from a middle school student this time. So it's a young person. Seventh grade kid had a severe asthma attack last month at Woodland Middle School. She did not have her asthma inhaler. However, the principal at the school also has asthma and had her asthma inhaler. And she acted so quickly, she gave it to the kid and saved the kid's life. But now the parents are suing because the kid, even though the kid recovered, because, you know, you're never supposed to use another person's asthma inhaler, and that principal should have known better. Talk about ungrateful. Apparently, it's a real gray area legally. The principal said, like, I did what I had to do. I mean, it was better taking a chance that this is the wrong inhaler than to let the boy just sit there and die.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what she did. So she ran in and gave the inhaler. Will the parents have any success in this case, Lisa?
Well, you know, at this point, I don't think they've filed any kind of civil suit. They actually went to the cops.
Yeah.
And they tried to get this principal criminally prosecuted.
That's right.
Because apparently, you know, with asthma, there are different types of asthma, and certain asthma medications, certain inhalers, can actually be lethal to, you know, one person versus the other. And it was a clear violation of a school policy. But the cops decided not to prosecute. Thank goodness. I mean, of course they shouldn't have this. The principal was sort of doing, you know, what she had to do under the circumstances. I think the family sort of overreacted, obviously, about the fact that, it could have gone another way, but it didn't.
Yeah.
And so I don't think they're going to go anywhere with a civil suit either. And the police declined to prosecute. Now, the sad thing is that the principal may have some kind of reprimand for it. That's typically what you see here,
right,
in a situation like this, because it was dangerous, and you know, but she was just acting under duress, but yeah, you may get reprimanded for
it. Just doing what she thinks is right, you know, doing what she thinks she has to do, in that case, to save the kid's life. It's like when Andy Griffith explained it to Opie on the Andy Griffith Show. You know, if there's a sign that says no swimming in a lake, and but there's a boy in the lake drowning, you dive in the lake. You don't pay attention to the sign. You go in and try to save the boy.
Two poignants in a row.
And you say there's three stories?
You're on a roll, Kelly. You are on a roll.
Ready for the next one.
Let me see if I can be poignant about this one. A 17-year-old has been arrested for putting up Facebook emojis of policemen getting shot in the head. And the police say, you know what, this is tantamount to a threat. He put three photos of a marijuana blunt sticking out of his waistband next to a revolver, and then the emojis of a cop's face with guns shooting the cop. So he's been arrested for that. They went over to his house and found all sorts of illegal stuff as well. But he's saying, look, I didn't make a threat to the cops. This is emojis we're talking about here, little images that you put out on your Facebook or Twitter or whatever it might be. Lisa, who wins in this case? Is an emoji threat an actual threat to cops?
Well, you know, right now the Supreme Court is considering a case about a Facebook post, and really there's going to be a huge ruling coming out on this, because there have been tons of cases recently where people were prosecuted for sort of terror threats or assault charges and that sort of thing, based on something they put on Facebook. There was a pretty high-profile case fairly recently where a PR rep for a congresswoman criticized the Obama kids. Mm-hmm. And she ended up having to resign her position. And, you know, it was basically a very benign criticism. She didn't like the way the girls were, the faces they were making, and the way they were dressed during the pardoning of the turkey at Thanksgiving.
I remember. That's right. Yep.
And, you know, there was talk there about some kind of charges against her. Nothing was filed, but she ended up resigning her post. But the case that's right now before the Supreme Court involves a guy who was angry with his wife. He was going through a divorce, and he posted on his Facebook that he'd like to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And he was arrested for that, and those were considered assault.
I can see that. I can see it if you write down, I want to kill my wife. But what about just little pictures, little emojis? Is that still considered a threat?
It could be. The current standard, and the Supreme Court is expected to clarify this with the case about the assault, but the current standard is whether a reasonable person would regard what they see on Facebook or read on Facebook as a threat.
Yeah.
So you have to think, you know, would a reasonable police officer, I guess, a reasonable person who would be the subject of that threat, view that as a threat? And I think with an emoji, just in and of itself, that's not enough. But this kid also, you know, he posted some other much more threatening words.
Yes, and then when they got to his house, they found illegal. I believe they found weapons. I know they found drugs.
They found evidence that would be consistent with all that.
Yeah, once they got over there.
I just as an average guy, maybe out of most people's demographics, I don't understand 90% of the emojis out there.
I can't see them. I'm like, what is that?
I don't even like the word.
Little
yeah, I don't like the word
on there. It's on your phone.
It's like you're dipping your foot into cartoons from Japan.
I don't understand it. I totally agree. I guess really though, the message here is words have meaning. So be careful before you type out anything.
Strike three, he's out.
Putting an emoji.